You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, right. You know, like he's just gonna, you know, just yeah, get up middle of mic check and just get up and hey, we're gonna start the show soon. I'll just get up randomly.
But anyway, he won't survive Discovery.
Like, oh yeah, nothing.
He will not survive Discovery if the completionist takes it to that point, because he was just saying numbers without any evidence. That's gonna be terrible.
Yeah. With anything you do, there's potential being sued. So we try to keep things very separate. So when someone does get Discovery, they can, you know, you can really like, here, this little small basket is what you get. You know, get everything. You know, so. But most people, especially YouTubers, something like that, they do everything on the same machine. So good luck.
Yeah.
Why do you have separate machines for everything? Just in case. Oh man. Anyways, hi everybody, and welcome to an exciting new episode of Low Key on the We Are Libertarians Network. I am your host for this evening, Harry, aka the Moving Target, and Reinhold has finally racked up enough gold stars that he can finally pick a topic. He exacted his privilege to pick a topic for tonight, and he decided to. I don't know. He's been trying to get us to talk about something for, I don't know, which feels like 8 months now, and we have been poo-pooing and saying no to it, and he has snuck this in. I will let him introduce his topic as we introduce him. So go ahead, say hi, Reinhold.
Hi, Reinhold. How are you doing? Yeah, so the topic that he's trying to avoid was and actually, to be honest with you, this is a different topic than that topic.
Mm-hmm.
This just involves that person. So
correct. It scratches.
Yeah. So this is actually, we're going to talk about plagiarism on YouTube and it's the fallout of some very good detective work and exposing of some pretty rough stuff that's happened. So, and what's gone on around it and the reaction to it. So it's going to be fun. Buckle in.
Yeah. And of course, you guys all know we also brought Benson with us. Benson, can you say hi?
Hey, guys. I'm also here. I purposely tried to, while the Illuminati thing is kind of getting touched on here, the fact that it's only touching on the small part of it and how much more ridiculous that whole thing is. I'm glad that we're not going into that because, you know, with the whole
you never know where we may go.
Yeah. Like, oh, you know, trying to foreclose a guy's house and stuff, you know.
Allegedly. You know. Allegedly.
Sure, allegedly for now.
Talk about someone who won't be able to survive Discovery.
Yeah, right. He's not even close.
Yeah, considering that person may or may have not been proven to delete stuff.
Right? And may or may not have been proven to use sock accounts. And may or may not have proven to pay people to search your stuff.
That's here or there. It's okay. That's a rabbit hole we will get into.
Just put a little bow when we talk about at the beginning of this. There is some ordinary gamer video that he talks about the completionist and his open hand charity, which he'd been running for 10 years and hadn't donated a dime of that money until this year. And then the completionist made a response video saying that he's going to sue them for defamation because whatever. And then Muda put another response video showing that his claims are bogus and his receipts aren't receipts. They don't explain anything. So that's a whole different rabbit hole. Go check that stuff out. It's very interesting to watch somebody. If he had just taken the L, he would have been fine. Mm-hmm. But he chose not to take the L.
The community was fine with him taking the L. They were like, oh, money's there. You messed up.
Yeah.
Take the L. We're good. See you next year. Just take the L.
Then he started to play the victim card, did his classic YouTube apology video.
Yeah.
All he's missing was a dog.
Because he could have took the L, right? And said, I'm bad at running this organization. I should just be the face. Could have hired some person better to run it. Took all the stress, everything off him, and just bid the guy in front of the camera still.
Yeah.
That's what I thought he was going to do. Just take the L. Hire someone else.
Not to take the L.
But nope. Anyways, but it's good for you to be like, it's hours of
It's a whole different rabbit hole.
Great links if you like looking at, you're going to watch this one, or like if you like looking at, looking things up on your own. Sources, it's great. Sources
and looking at.
Citations and sources.
Yeah,
and
still, you know. Yeah, still not good as the queen of all sources, Aiden Paladin. Oh my god, her source still not that close, but it's close. Well, Aiden Paladin sources are like.
All I know is that Muda had about 10 years of tax returns. And I was like, all right. Oh, look, this money still hasn't moved. What's going on with this?
Yeah, but
That's an in-depth research.
Yeah, I know. But, but that's not the topic for today. Yes, Christy. Yes. Oh, right. It's Monday, which is, like I said, is in the top five of when we did think about name changes for the show, is one of the names. Oh, right. It's Monday.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah,
and we're not taking a week off.
Thought about it though. Guess what? Take a quarter off. Take a quick quarter break. Huh?
Last week I could hardly talk, so it was a fun time. You just had me on the call going,
yeah, do it.
He would have to use his miming skills.
Honestly, like with some of the, he could have just did the chat GPT, he's got enough audio recorded of him. He could probably feed that in and then just type and just let the AI just talk for him.
I do that. So I can take a couple of days off, a couple of Mondays off, just let it go with a little, script.
Mm-hmm.
Script that I properly sourced and didn't, steal from somebody.
You just not going to throw articles in it. What article you guys are talking about? Yeah, I'll just go. hit the Grammarly.
No sources.
Translate it to Spanish, translate it back to English, hit Grammarly on it 2 times, you're good.
if some of the people that we're going to talk about had done anything like that, they probably would still have a channel.
That sounds like a little bit more work than some of these shows. But we are burying the lead. We have a lot of people listening have no idea what we're talking about. We are laughing, making jokes about this topic, but we've got to get everyone caught up. And the best person I know to catch everybody else on the talk is, Reinhold.
I could have, but, they're going to let Reinhold do it.
Yeah, it's his thing. It's his gold star. I'll let you bring it in.
Well, I'll tell you how it came about in my purview was that there's a guy named Todd in the Shadows, and Vincent and I know him pretty well. He's a really good music reviewer. He does music reviews. He doesn't show his face, but he's funny. He is a great joke. So he's talking about this video that he'd been working on for months, but he couldn't put out because he had to wait till another video had got put out before he could put this one out. And he put this one out talking about a guy named James Summerton and all the things that he gets wrong in his videos and how it was upsetting to him and frustrating to him that he was constantly getting all these facts, these very easily look up facts wrong. It's interesting because he was talking about how he was watching some videos and said, oh, these sound right. But then it got to a topic that he knew very well. And he's like, oh no, this is way off. This is completely wrong. There's no way he could even get this wrong unless he's just making it up. And then they talked about another aspect of it when they got into a Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett discussion. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, you're not, that's my area, man. I know Terry Pratchett really well. So when they got in, he tells a story about how Pratchett and Gaiman met. Mm-hmm. And YouTuber named Summerton tells this story. And it's just like, that is not how this happened. That is nowhere near close to the real story. And Todd mentioned that that's one of the things he had found that was wrong. Mm-hmm. That's when I started going, hey, this is pretty, this is pretty interesting stuff. But he had mentioned that he was waiting to put his out until mm-hmm. H Bomber Guy had put out a video he'd been working on for months. I'm like, for months. Okay, let's go see what this is. So I went to go look for that video and I found it fairly easily. And it's a 4 hours long, a 4 hour video. Mm-hmm. What could this be? And it was titled Plagiarism in YouTube with the tube and quote things. It's kind of cute. And I'd never seen H Bomber Guy before, didn't know who he was. And I started watching this video and it was really interesting. And I don't know, I don't want to break it down and go into it too much, but my initial reaction after watching the video was, holy crap. I mean, mm-hmm. that was well put together, had a lot of receipts, a lot of data, mm-hmm. And it was very damning. The people who were mentioned in the video, he goes in first to a history of kind of plagiarism and people fighting it back against plagiarism, recounting the most current story he could find about an artist actually winning a plagiarism lawsuit, which was in the 70s. And then proceeds to go on and talk about some other, a famous situation with a guy doing reviews, and he was ripping off the reviews basically word for word, screen for screen, making the video. That guy got fired when it came out. He lost everything, all this stuff. And he was interested more in, okay, let's take what this guy said and see if we can, from his response, learn things from it. Why do people do this? Why is this, what's going on? Then goes through some more other content providers. Talks about the angry video reviewer. So, and he wasn't plagiarizing, but some team that he had hired was plagiarizing. So it looked bad on him. And he's kind of going through different types of plagiarism to get to his main point, which was the second half of the video where he exposes James Summerton. And in the meantime, when getting there, he talks about Illuminati, which a lot of people have been hearing about. He talks about the Internet Historian, which is a whole thing that we're going to have to get into. because it's interesting. But then after he goes to all that, he's like, he's basically saying, I told you all of this in order to tell you this. And that's when he gets into just destroying James Summerton and the impact of that video. I don't know if you want to talk about the impact first. You want to talk a little bit about what you guys thought of it or not, but.
Well, it's your show, because like I know, like there's a lot of things I didn't want to bring up, like being up from it, because a lot of it is also I get some parallels, especially in comedy, where some people will say like some certain late night host or hosts allegedly have stolen a joke when it's really like their writer's room. The host has no idea, but he has somebody writing for them, and they just get like, oh yeah, here's this joke, read this joke, and they pulled it from some comedy club that somebody's working on. Which is kind of like, that's what I saw from the angry video game nerd.
Yeah.
He's not getting any flack because it's very obvious that he was getting to a point where he was doing things that he said he'd never do, having people write his reviews and read them. But that was a whole other kind of take and discussion. Correct. But yeah, it was very clear that he had nothing. And then there was another guy who had done this years ago who, when this video came out, responded, hey, he's completely right. I did this. I was wrong. It was years ago. I'm not doing anything about it. And the bad part about his on the reaction on him was that he hadn't been doing anything on online for 2 years. Oof. And he came out and said, I was completely wrong, in the wrong. This is something that should have been done. And he apologizes right up front. He owns it. And people are going to his Instagram and just bombing his Instagram with hate. Oof. Including his last picture on his Instagram at the time that I saw it, which was his wedding photos. There are people on his wedding photos on Instagram calling him all kinds of names. So the reaction was interesting. But I do want to point out the extent. So it's talking about plagiarism, mm-hmm. and how YouTube really doesn't have any mechanism to deal with plagiarism very much. He does introduce one example where plagiarism tools that YouTube have actually worked. Mm-hmm. Resolved the issue, sort of. It kind of did what it was supposed to do, but those are very, very few and far between, because there's a lot of creators who know how to get around it, mm-hmm. yes. around the automated tools.
Yes.
But the extent of the plagiarism on some of these are so egregious. And I just want to share it real quick for anybody who hasn't seen it. Here's a couple screenshots from the video. In the Summerton section, which is the second half of the section, it's very long. He talks about how that one of his videos that he had found, he'd gone through and listed out a transcript mm-hmm. of the video. So this is what this is right here. If you want to share that. So this is basically the transcript for one of his videos, word for every single word. Right. And this. Oh, hold on a second. I got the wrong screen here.
No, DP.
This is what. Oh, no, I got it. It's fine.
Oh, you got it back.
Yeah. So he. He's the right frame.
I know. Put it back on the right frame now.
Yeah. So this is one of his transcripts. And then he went through and highlighted which sections were word for word plagiarized by color coded by the author who he plagiarized from. And that's what that looks like. And the reality is that those spaces that aren't color coded or highlighted, we don't know yet if that was plagiarized. They may have been. We just haven't found them yet. Nope. And we're not going to be able to find them. Because the funny thing is, on the aftermath of this video, this video was released at a specific time, and this video is 4 hours long. His section about James Summerton comes into play, what, about 2 hours in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
2 hours after this video is released, James Summerton started pulling his stuff. He pulled his Twitter account. He set everything to private. And he started like saying, okay, he's trying to start to defend it, but he doesn't. He tells his Patreon that he's upset and he's sad that he's lost their trust and he's going to try and get it back and he's going to fight. You know, he's going to tell you more about it later. And then his Patreon goes away. Then his YouTube channel is completely gone, not just set to private. Or not just set the no comment.
Like, yeah, no.
He literally, all his videos are gone. Oof. Now you understand something. James Summerton was making probably $170,000.
Yeah, a month. Big bank
on these videos.
All those ads and everything that's on the
and Patreon and all that. Mm-hmm.
And I think the point that H Bomber guy really wanted to make about this whole thing, and there's a lot of people who are trying to make their own judgments on who and what and why and everything else. But he makes it clear, I think, in the video that what he's looking for is the fact that James Summerton was a gay YouTuber. He was doing videos about LGBT culture, in media, things like that. He is very well known. A lot of people liked him. But what he was doing was he was actually stealing from other members of that community who are lesser known, who were looking to get amplified themselves to get their messages out. And he was taking it from them and making money off of it. He was actually silencing his own community and making and obscuring them in order to make a buck. And that was the most egregious part about all of this, right? So one thing he did with this video that I thought was very smart was he didn't want to be incentivized monetarily to do this again. So any ad revenue he's getting from the video is going to pay all the people who James Summerton ripped off. Which means he said he had to pay. He's going to have to write a check to Wikipedia.
Yeah.
There's time. No, he's just reading right out of Wikipedia. So.
Mm-hmm. Like word for word.
Yeah.
Point for point off a Wikipedia page.
Yeah. So his stuff is, I mean, James Summerton got new. He got H-bombed. Let's put it that way. That's the new phrase is when you get caught plagiarizing, you're getting H-bombed because H-bombed. Of this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and it does make you wonder sometimes, like, you know, like this is what I had when this was like all the years from like the years of wall content is how many people have taken something from Reinhold's and pre-booted it and did something else with it in their like community? Because there's been times when Reinhold, like you have said something and like a week or two later, I've heard some other somebody just say almost exact word. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure they probably just came to the same thought.
Yeah, I don't think I'm really that unique in the thought processes, but
right, yeah, but no, Rhino, it's like no. It's really close. Like you said something on the show, and like that's neat, and then like,
See, what's crazy to me about that video is that almost every single instance that he brought up, except for James Summerton, because I didn't know anything about him except for the Todd video, is I knew about just about every instance. Or every person that he was talking about with the plagiarism thing. Mm-hmm. Like when he talked about the games journalist, mm-hmm. I watched that happen in real time. Watched him get hired, watched him get caught by another YouTuber. It's like, that's my review. And then the guy got fired and removed everything. And the fact that he was plagiarizing his own company mm-hmm. for his reviews.
Oh yeah, he was ripping off yeah. the guy who yeah. sat in the cubicle next to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like yeah. he literally
that's the funny part.
His written review was plagiarized from the video review. Like, it wasn't even like a transcript of the video review, it was a plagiarized and reworded version of their own video review.
And I could at least give like a byline credit.
Yeah, something, anything.
Oh yeah, it's funny because the guy tweeted, he's like, well, this sucks. Basically, yeah, when he saw it.
Yeah. So like it was like I watched that happen in real time where when the first person started talking about, hey, this games journalist ripped off this YouTuber for no reason. And the Boomstick Gaming, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And his excuse of it being, well, I was just taking inspiration from popular reviewers. It's like, bro, this man doesn't even have 10K. Well,
he came back later and was trying to say, well, you know, I was really good at video editing. And these popular yeah, guys no, like, oh, you knew how to use a transition that everybody yeah. else knows how to use? He says, but my writing skills weren't up to snuff, and I was nervous, and it was imposter syndrome, yeah. blah blah blah. It's just like, dude, just
yeah, but like, I watched, and
talking about that is that in the James Summerton section, one of the people who he stole from was one of his Patreons. She had been supporting him financially. He came out with a video, and she's like, "That's mine," and she had written. What she had written for, she was writing for this website. She was doing it for free to get exposure. Yeah. And he just destroyed any chance of her getting exposure. He's taking it himself. And then he would turn it around and try and say that other people were stealing from him. That when the plagiarism stuff was caught, it's like, well, he must have saw my video and,
yeah, and copied it. That's
mm-hmm. It's like, no, it was written like 4 years before this.
Yeah.
The guy is just what you're terrible. Doing, yeah. Oh man, it's yeah, just terrible. Mm-hmm.
And then like the AVGN stuff is like I didn't know that he got bought out, but I knew about a lot of the AVGN just general stuff. But I didn't realize that he got bought out and then like this other company started writing scripts for him and forced him to do stuff. And like when you think about it, Angry Video Game Nerd was like one of the first successful YouTube series ever.
Yeah, about a billion people trying to copy exactly. his style.
Exactly. And they failed horribly. but it's it was one of the original like YouTube series, and watching is, you know, he still is doing it, even though you can kind of tell that he's not like as passionate about it as he once was. But I mean, it pays the goddamn bills, you know.
It's like, and that's like you said, that's part of it, is it YouTube is no longer just a wild west of people just throwing up stuff that they like to do. It's people, you know, there's a lot of money involved now.
Right.
And there were problems before when it was Wild West, because people were looking for clout and looking to be the guy and everything else. But now there's money involved in it, and you're stealing money from other people when you're stealing their stuff. It's not just, I was inspired by what he did. I thought he'd be real cool, and I just did it, this thing. And what's the big deal? It's just YouTube.
Yep.
It's like, well, when you see how much money World of Tanks is giving you, mm-hmm. for sponsorship deals, and you're taking the script from somebody else that they wrote an article that they spent months and months working on, and you basically just read it word for word as your own, you're stealing from that person. You're right. you're it's horrible that you're doing that.
Right.
And
probably not, probably barely cite at all. Probably gone to the website with an ad blocker on, so not even getting ad revenue for the little exposure that they do have for it. You know, probably didn't buy the subscription for it. It's like it's all poor case all around.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, I was going to talk about some of the AI stuff, but I was going to switch wings real quick. But go.
Oh, no. Illuminati. I got to talk about what she did. I'm not getting into the other stuff. I'm talking about when she would take. She did a video on Fire Island, and she literally
but she was
doing a video on that, and it was literally the Netflix and YouTube documentaries. She was taking their video, putting a filter over it so YouTube wouldn't catch it. So she knows what she's doing, and then reading what was being said in the documentary word for word in her voice.
Reinhold, and that's not even the worst part. The worst part was that her source link for the Hulu one was,
that's the one I was gonna say,
was the 1-2-3 movie rip off pirate site link. So she didn't even link it to Hulu. She linked it to her pirate site that she fired it off of.
That's where I was gonna get to, yeah. I'm wondering that, because that's so amazing.
Like, bruh.
It's just
or like the vaccine one that she did, where she copied it so word for word that she brought up a person's name she didn't bring up ever again in the entire video, because she was copying what the guy was saying and didn't mention him in the video beforehand.
Yeah, I want you to know that vaccine one of Illuminati actually had that in my watch. So
get it out.
No, it's funny. It was funny because when the whole Illuminati thing started going down, Ace Palmer guy did post his video saying, like a Twitter thing with a little video saying, look at this. This is sounds pretty, you know, like I've heard this before. I think this is kind of where a lot of it started, on his looking into this stuff. And that kind of started a whole tangent on what was going down with Illuminati before, because she was claiming somebody else was trying to rip her off, which was complete bullshit, because she doesn't know what she's doing. And if she was actually creating her own videos, she would have known what she was doing, and she would have known how stupid she was sounding at the time when she did.
Telling me that Illuminati didn't invent paper ripping to make it look like paper, because they're talking about a piece of paper. You're telling me she didn't invent that, and anybody else who used it before her or was ripping her off?
Ghost Rider. Oh, so no.
And there's more to the James Summerton too thing, because not only did he, like, there was a graphic where H. Bomber guy shows all the videos he could find evidence of blatant plagiarism in his videos. And it was like he had like 30 or 40 on the screen, and like 20 of them were obviously plagiarized or more. Not only that, he started a movie company. He's going to make these movies, and he's ripping off those movies. Like he's taking stock photos, and actually one of the ones he was going to do, somebody else is actually making a show and using that same footage, same picture for their like trailer screen or the, you know, the banner. And he's just like saying, okay, I'm coming out with information later. I'm coming out with what we're at now. It's 6 months later. We got to move. We got to change. And he's just putting, he's not showing anything. Nothing is coming out. And that Patreon, I think, still might be up, that company, the Telos. So he's making money that way too. He's stealing. And Illuminati, she started off doing, like, you know, different types of ways to get famous on YouTube. And that's what she was after. She was looking for the fame. She's looking for the money. She didn't care what she was doing. So she was trying, you know, trying to storytellings, and she was trying to do all this, you know, all the stuff that was trying to work before. So she just got into this, you know, backwards, trying to make a buck. Mm-hmm. And she didn't care about what she was doing. That's why she was didn't care about what the quality she was putting out or who she was ripping off, because she just wanted to get her name out there and get money and famous.
Sad.
But yeah, it really shows that a lot of the ghostwritery kind of stuff that leads to this kind of thing, where if you're not writing it yourself, you have a tendency to run into that issue. Or if somebody isn't creative, they're going to just take what they think is creative by taking what everybody else writes.
Yeah. I think the ghostwriters of the world and the copywriters need to, like, form a guild. Like, hey, he talked about licensed unplagiarist.
Well, he does talk about in the video about how there's been some attempts to try to unionize or guild or something, but it's just, it's not going to work that well, because this, you know, it's not something you can really do, because everybody's freelancing.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. And the people who have the money to fund this thing, they barely want to give it up to their mods and their communities. Pay my mods.
I'm gonna do that.
I mean, no, you're too busy trying to rip off your workers who are also you're dating, who you're also living with, who also you own their home, and now you have financial money into their home, and if they say anything bad about you, then you're gonna just kick them out of their home.
First off, I'm trying to get Dear Leader to move into my house so I can have power over him, and he just keeps refusing. I don't know why.
It's a good business strategy.
Your daughter would beat up his daughter.
I know.
But there is good news, a little bit good news on that, is that he did a stream the other day, a live stream. He was expecting to do a 24-hour live stream to try and get $5,000 to help come up with the $15,000 he needed to stay in his house by Christmas.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh no. Yeah, he way blew
7 hours or was that 3 hours in, he had triple what he was asking for. He hit his full goal, and it was pretty amazing. The people
there have been a lot of individual YouTubers that talk about that whole situation and linked to his financial thing. And he basically, in his GoFundMe, is like, anything past what I'm using, I'm gonna just help other people figure the situation out. It's all legal fees and stuff.
And he was doing his live stream, and he was playing games with a couple of the people who he had been, a couple of other guys in Sad Milk who Blair had basically told him he couldn't see anymore. He had contact with them for months. He had, like, they weren't friends anymore. They after all this had happened, they started getting back together and kind of healing that. So he was playing games with a couple of those guys from Sad Milk, and he was very emotional, let's put it that way. But
you know, without watching it, I can guess at least two of the people that he was playing with. I didn't watch the live stream, only watched his video of it, but I can guess two people he played with.
Like, I was wondering, Oz.
Oh, that's good. Yes. The other thing that he brought up in the video is something that I like to watch and make fun of, is the AI story caps. I find those hilarious. And I know they're AI generated. It's okay. I got an ad blocker. and I enjoy watching, especially, I only like watching the ones. I only like watching the ones that I know the story of, because I do. Because I know there's an AI reading the script of what the plot is going on. So I like to. It just, to me, it's funny as it messes up or, like, glosses over stuff in the story. I don't know. I'm working. I need something to fill the air. I find it hilarious. Trust me, it's this weird, like, I don't know, like, it's this weird thing I got into this year. I don't know why. I found it very hilarious. Now the shorts ones, I've seen those, like, this is why blah 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 blah. I click on those to block them.
block. They're horrible
report.
Too.
It's just report block, spammy.
Block, spam. Did you know? And there's one I've been getting lately. It's like things that can save your life. And he goes into a list of all these different things. It's just like, the guy's voice is really good, but it's like, just shut
up. Yeah. Yeah. At least the thirst trap Instagram ones put work in it. All right. These are there's no work at these.
Right.
Well, some of them do. Some of them are just horrible.
Okay. All right.
There's some who are actually, they actually put some production into it where they show and then they do the flip with the camera and then they're dressed differently or something. And there's a switch. Yes. Those are good. That's like a lot of work.
I know.
Then like there's these girls on the screen going, "What do you think of me?"
Right. Like that one drag queen every day for like year for Pride, and he switches all through the colors. But like that's work. He deserves full ads, full money. That was work.
That was good. Cool. No, I watched him. Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, that clearly was not one take. Yeah. I was done. That was clearly like, all right, how we're doing it. I'm setting it up. Work. But no,
that brings up the other thing. And now I just lost it.
There you go.
Well, while you figure that out. So I'm talking about the recap thing. It's one of those. It's sad when you see the AI version of things when you also have the people that can actually play the games and go through the narrative and break it down so people that like didn't want to play it or didn't get a chance to play it or haven't played it in a while. There's one that does like a recapitation is what he called it. And when he does it, like there's a game series that could never get into, but him explaining it also didn't make my brain any better for it. It's like 9 doors, 9 keys, 9 rooms or something. It's like 999. And the game is like hurts my brain with like even him trying to explain the plot of this game. I'm just like, what is happening? I'm glad I didn't play this game. I would want to bash my head into the wall. Thank you for playing it for me.
Did you catch in the video, in H. Bobber's video, where he basically takes a backhanded shot at all the people who are ripping off ContraPoints?
Oh, yeah, with the colors and stuff.
Oh, yeah, the color.
And he's like, and somebody did this, and now everybody rips her off.
I know, I remember talking about that,
We did the buy lights.
It's like, is there anybody? And that's one of the few people who do these like long essays and stuff. I knew her. So, because I had talked to you about something I'm wanting to do where it's going to be long form essay like that, like what she's doing. So now I had to be careful because I'm trying to get into this space, which is now exploding with age bomb going off. So I got to do it right.
It's okay. It's okay. But yeah, the copying of ContraPoints is weird. Like when people attempt that poorly, it really shows. But it also just shows like all the work that Contra puts into like one of her videos, and it does.
And that's the thing is, you see somebody putting out fairly good quality video 2-3 times a week. You know they can't be they either have a team that's just working around the clock. Because ContraPoints or H Bomber Guy or some of these other people, they put out videos once every 6 months.
Correct.
Like they're putting the work in. And I was watching somebody because there's a fallout from all of this that I want to get into the whole breadth of the fallout. One of the ones was a historian I saw who there's a Slack channel where a bunch of the historian type YouTube people kind of get together. You have to be invited in, so you have to have done the work and stuff like that. And he had been trying to talk about plagiarism before and how some of these history channels aren't really as good as you think they are. And he was talking about, reviewing some of them and how they do. And he says, well, here's the ones I didn't get to and why. And he got to oversimplify it. It was like, well, they just don't put out enough content every so often. They haven't put out anything for 6 months now. So I can't really talk about the quality of their stuff. I'm like, dude, if you're slamming stuff out really quick, it's not going to be good. So at least, I think that he's probably good on there, but he was ragging on overly sarcastic and stuff like that. But he was more talking about the quality of their, research, but he was also kind of taking points away when they weren't citing properly. And he was a little bit more of a stickler than I think that a lot of people really care about. And that's kind of where we get into is there are people out there who are having good conversations and are trying to say, okay, here's how you can do citations better. Here's kind of the ways we can help each other get there. There's things we can do to make this work. And this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. And they're having those conversations. It's really great. And then you've got some people who are, well, there was one guy who made a great video where it was a short video, like a 40-second video, but it's basically titled, you know, every creator since, every YouTube creator ever since H-Bomb dropped his video, and it shows him just going panic mode and looking at the screen and trying to check everything, and then going, oh. Well, that was funny. That was a good thing.
Was there an upload, like, session, like upload before H-Bomb, after H-Bomb? Slowed this down.
Look at all these views that just randomly got deleted.
I know.
And there's people going back and updating videos now. There are a lot of people who are going back and updating old videos and putting citations in them and and fixing some things that they could go, you know, I could really get dinged on this too if I wasn't, you know, I kind of got sloppy. And then there's a sloppiness to it. And there's also, mm-hmm. you know, there's no incentive to do that, to make sure you're citing properly on your sources, right? Because it takes a lot of extra work. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to change a bit on how many views you get. So what's the incentive to do it?
Correct. And only a monica like fraction of your audience like will actually will click and view your sources. I think back in the day when you actually could post like good links and stuff like that off your YouTube videos, where I was listening to one person's podcast and he goes like 10% of you guys have clicked this link.
Yeah.
My sources, for shame on all of you. I was like, oh, thank God I clicked that link.
Well, and that's the other one, the part I want to get to is that a lot of the people who are consuming this stuff don't care.
Yeah.
And that's really the guy, the sad part was, they're like, we don't care, we like what was done. And that gets me into the fallout from Internet Historian, mm-hmm. because that's a whole rabbit hole we need to go down.
Okay,
so Internet Historian,
hold on, I'm gonna give this much content as Jenks a nephew.
Sorry. So I continue, Ronald.
All right, for the listeners, I got up and just left the chair. Sorry, right?
No, there's
something about
derail. So that's fine. There's a lot of people that are mentioned in this video, and most of them are mentioned for a reason, and it's usually because he's trying to make a point about a certain type of plagiarism, or different types of reactions to the plagiarism, how people respond when they're caught with, you know, that sort of thing. It's all leading up to talking about James Summerton. So one of the people he mentions is Internet Historian. And he mentions about there's a video that a lot of people probably saw, because it was like number two of the top videos, and H-Bomber Guy was number three, which is why he was kind of, you know, ragging on it a bit. He's like, let's go look at the number two video. Oh, it's not there anymore. Let's go find out why. But he made this video called Man in Cave. Really well done. A lot of people loved it. People like, he was showing pictures of XQC just leaving it on while he went to the bathroom in the stream. Yeah, XQC, stuff like that.
Jenks' cousin.
Yeah. And the problem with, so everybody pretty much agrees Illuminati is horrible. They pretty much agree that James Summerton was horrible. They agree that the you know, angry reviewer guy is not wasn't his thing, so nobody giving him crap. But Internet Historian, who took somebody's article and literally read it word for word. Well, he changed a few words here and there. I'm not going to be completely unfair, but he did that in order to not feel so bad about it. But he made a video that was really just complete ripoff of that article. And the reaction has been that H-Bomber Guy did this on purpose because H-Bomber Guy is a socialist bread tuber and gay and Internet Historian. He's in the 4chan Pepe right wing group. Mm-hmm. So obviously he did this. He did this just because he wants to get him because of his politics. Mm-hmm. Right. It is like, okay, so he took down Illuminati, who was exposing a lot on the left side. She was on the left and exposing MLMs and stuff like that. James Summerton, another gay video creator that was talking about a lot of important things that a lot of people did find what he was saying important. Obviously it was important because he was ripping it off from a bunch of other people who that did the work to make it important, but he was still talking about those things and getting them out there. And their reaction is that, no, all of this was just to go after an internet historian. And it's like, no, the guy ripped off an article. And their reaction is, so what? It's up now. They must have figured it out. They must have worked out the issues. Like, yeah, he finally gave him credit for it, and he changed like 30%, 40% of the words in his narration, took whole sections out to change it. I mean, it's a complete change from what the original one was. And then I watch reactions, and, you know, I watch reactions videos. It's like you watch the AI stuff. And I watch reaction videos, so I'm watching a bunch of people's reactions to this stuff, and I can't believe the number of people who are just like trying to give him a pass. They're not trying to give any of the other people a pass, only the internet historian a pass, because they liked his video and they don't want it to be a big deal. They want to still like him. So they're trying to defend him and say, oh, this is no big deal. H. Bomber guy's lying about this, and it's obvious that he's just doing it because he doesn't like his politics, because in the video, H. Bomber guy does throw a couple backhanded attacks at him on that stuff.
Yeah.
Like when the video was taken down by copyright, the company that had that article was out of Israel, and there's pictures showing the chat going, oh, it's the Jews, you know, obviously this, you know, it's like, he's like, oh, nice fans you got there that you cultivated, you know. So he made some comments like that, which now has everybody trying to defend what was done. And it's like, you can't defend what he did. What he did was completely wrong. It was terrible. And they're saying, no, the guy who wrote the article, he's cool with it. You know, it's obviously it's back up, right? Well, somebody emailed the guy who wrote the article, and he's like, I've been with the company for years, and he's like, I didn't know anything about it. I went and looked at it. This is terrible, what he did to me. I hate that this happened to me. So he's not okay with it. You know, people trying to say that he is. All they did was he changed enough of the video after a third try uploading it. He finally got it to where the YouTube would say, okay, that's enough of a difference. We'll let it slide. You know, so that's the interesting thing. I think I saw XQC is trying to say, no, man, this is getting stuff out in the ether. This is stuff getting out to the community so they can see it. We need to do more of this. It doesn't matter who originally wrote it. The information's getting out there. We need the information. What?
Well, one of the things I saw is like, somebody's like, well, he made animation, so it's different now. Yeah,
it's transformative because he did the video. It's like, oh, so if I take somebody's short story and I make a little short movie out of it, an animated movie based off that short story, word for word, I'm okay with copyright on that. That's cool. We can do that now. Sweet. Because seriously, there's a lot of stuff I could do that with.
I know. Get some of them. Yeah. I've got a great idea. You got some of them. How about this robot cop? I got a great. I'll animate it.
Yeah, I got this great idea, right? This is a Netflix show called Cyberpunk Edgerunners, right? But instead of it being Edgerunners, we use Ubisoft characters.
I see what you're doing there.
That's a real thing, by the way.
What?
Yeah.
What?
That's a real thing. It's called Cyberhawk. It's called Cyberhawk.
Shut up.
It's based. They just take a bunch of Ubisoft properties and shove it into like a cyberpunk world. And the one thing that anybody likes about that show is because Rayman is like a news anchor that like supports the government, and then when he realizes how bad the government is, they replace him with a lookalike, and he goes like off the rails, and people are like, oh, the Rayman stuff is good, everything else sucks. All right,
I'm so sorry. This is fine. Please.
Aaron's like, I'm gonna watch.
We're good with it now. Let's change our whole opinion on this whole thing.
I'm good with it.
and that's what I mean. That's the thing, is we're starting to get to people who are like, I don't care. You know, they don't care, and I don't know what to do. I mean, is that just the way society's going to be from now on? So you're just going to kill off all creation, because who's going to create a bunch of stuff in order for somebody else to make money off your work? You know,
No. Right when I came to this, it came like dark conclusion to reading through it, because it's like with the Dave Cullen. I watched a lot of Dave Cullen stuff. I don't agree with a lot of stuff with Star Trek. Some stuff I do, but I don't. But it's that whole, we'll create your own stuff and go do things. And I was like, this sounds awesome. But like the idea that I can create something unique, even like the ideas that I want to do with the podcast, is like, I'd be really upset that someone just took our thing, pre-booted it, ran with it, and like making millions of dollars. Like, this is our plot line. This is things we created. This was uniquely ours. And someone just took it. Like, you know, like, I know I didn't create the process of what we plan on doing, but like, if someone took that baby of mine, be angry and upset. And the other thing is, the only way to defend that is I have to create new content by also searching for my exact same type of content to make sure no one's plagiarizing my
who's
crap.
Who's policing this? How is this getting cut? Like, how long did this guy go? And he got accused of plagiarism a time or two, and he'd blow it off and explain it was not them and everything else. Sure. But it took this amount of work by this guy. Mm-hmm. To expose him to where it was undeniable and everybody knew about it at this point. And that's, and it is changing things. It is being, it is making an impact, but I don't know if it's going to make enough of an impact. I think we just need to keep on it. We have to keep making sure that we as a community call out when other creators are being lazy and ripping other people off, because it's not just as XQC was saying, you know, getting the information out there, however it is. I found out about, you know, the man in cave thing. I didn't read the article. Nobody's going to read that article. So saw the video. It was really cool. We all learned something. What's the big deal? You know, there's a big deal. He could have done that and said, this is, you know,
inspired by this. This is this story.
Based on,
kind of like the SCP people who like, hey, this is from the SCP article, blah, 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 blah. Or other beady wearers sit there. I'm reading this complete article from this.
that was the thing about Illuminati, Manning, internet historian, and James Summerton, is they did not want you to know. They took measures to hide the fact that they knew they were doing wrong, and they did it anyway.
Right.
Because they thought they could get away with it. And for internet historian, he's getting away with it. He's putting out new videos. Nobody cares. They're all watching this stuff because his audience that he's cultivated doesn't care.
The one thing with, like, SQC and Jenks' nephew, those type of streamers, right? Those types of people, they are that react streamer. They need, if you know, you get to plagiarism, like, they're going to get hit hard too, because this is what they do all day, is just sit there. They just need endless loads of content, because they sit there for 8+ hours just watching this stuff. And if that pipeline, or I think what did H Bomber call it, the content mill or machine, what did you call it? Content mill. If it doesn't produce that thing, he has nothing to, like, you know, that thing ain't pooping on his tray. He got nothing to watch. You know, he's just there.
Well, that was one of the other things that a lot of the defenders of internet historian are making, is trying to say that, well, H Bomber guy is friends with Hassan, and that's all Hassan does, is he watches videos and just comments on it. Isn't that plagiarism? It's like, well, he's telling you who made the video. He's got the video, you know, creator's name there. He's linking to it, you know. And so I'm just saying, though, there's a line there that's not anywhere near what was done to these other people.
No. No. Chank's nephew, Hassan. No. Hassan doesn't let people boost off of him at all. Whatsoever, unless you're his friend, he doesn't. No. He hides the facts of that crap too. He hides that stuff too. It's the main reason why XQC only recently started doing that. It's the main reason, like, H Bomber kept, like, tagging back to this guy and rebooting his chair, because Hassan does the same thing. Like H Bomber guy is not going to get anything from Hassan. Like, if Hassan watches H Bomber guy, unless he pressure people says something, he's not going to mention it.
Well, I watched the video of Hassan reacting to H Bomber guy.
Right.
Really stating who it was and what he was doing and everything else and talking about it. I mean, I don't know. Isn't that boosting back?
Because his chat would have ganged after him if he did that. He has a history of not doing that. I see. Yeah. Yeah. If he's going to change after the because the people in that community is going to start like getting after him, good, because they have just trying to do that after the last type of like a reaction content because of hitting Hassan. Yeah. Hopefully he does start doing that. But for the majority of the time, just watching a video like Sniper Wolf does and hiding the fact where they got it from.
That's the key. If they're hiding where they get it from, that makes it from borderline kind of icky to this is horrible. You shouldn't do that.
And just basically just rebooting it in full HD, letting your entire audience watch it. At least when like Nux watch it, it's all mixed up thing. Like, nope, you ain't gonna see. If you're gonna watch what I'm watching, go watch
the video. Here's the video I'm watching. I was constantly pausing, explaining opinions and stuff.
Yeah. I was looking at a reaction to the third Doctor Who special. Last night I was looking for reactions and I found one. So let me try this guy. I hadn't heard of him before. Right. And it was literally him watching the show. The show is playing in the left. He's not doing what most of the reactors do, where he's cutting it up. So you're only getting the points where he's reacting to it because he didn't react to it. He spent the whole time. He never said a word.
Well, that was a good episode.
Speaking of React, I really want to like get Ryan Holt to watch him sit down, watch Lower Decks with Ryan Holt, watch you react to some of the stuff for Ryan Holt. Dude, it's hilarious. It's like, but they had that episode, Ryan Holt, where like this. All right, I'm just going to say this one. Like, he was trying to get new quarters, right? And he put it right next to the cell, so the light from the cell is just coming in the window. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're fine. It's funny that we're talking about this and all these other things, because there are some times where I don't understand why people will just like freeboot and copy stuff or purposely go through things that they can't do anything with, right? So just this morning is the exact opposite of that. Is this morning the producer Paul linked an article for this anime called Dropkick on My Devil. Mm-hmm. And for reference, it had a season, and then they reached out to fans to crowdfund a second season, and then also crowdfund a third season. So their second and third season was basically paid for by fans for it to exist. So they basically said, we don't care what you do with this anime. You can upload it, make money off of it, pirate it. We don't care. Just please buy the Blu-ray. Like, you guys paid for this anime to exist. Mm-hmm. You paid for us to make it, so do whatever you want with it.
Nice.
Which makes sense, because it's a company that they're basically giving back to the community that created the content. Because without the people putting the money in to make it, they wouldn't have made it.
Right. Yeah.
Especially with a weird niche show like Dropkick on My Devil, which is just slapstick, over-the-top violence in a modern time.
Out of all the shows, when he posted that, I was like, cool, this is going to be my new favorite. Oh, it's this show. Nah.
I watched the first two seasons.
I haven't watched a single episode.
So there's an amazing, in the second season, they do a beach episode, right?
Of course.
And they show up at the beach, right? And the main character goes, yes, our second beach adventure. If you have, you want to see our first one, pulls out the Blu-ray of the first season. Sure. Go ahead. It's an extra episode on the Blu-ray. Go check out the Blu-ray. Puts the Blu-ray away, doesn't reference it again.
Buy Blu-ray.
Nope. Of the meta stuff, right?
Yep.
That brings up another thing with copyright and protection and stuff like that, is how you have to be. There was a really well done revival of Star Trek, the original series, where this group of people got together and they lovingly put together what happened to the rest of the 5-year mission. Basically, they started in at the very end of the last episode and had a little switch so that you could tell that there were different actors playing now, and it just carried on like nothing had happened. And they just made more shows, and it was so well done. They got the original set. They got one of the original sets to put in to work off of. They had James Doohan's son playing Scotty. They had Grandy Mahara playing Sulu. I mean, this was great. They even got John DeLancey for an episode. They got the granddaughter of the original of one, the Vulcan, or not the Vulcan, the Romulan. She was like the captain of that one ship. She was a female Romulan. They got her granddaughter to play her. You know, it was so well done and done lovingly in a way that Paramount was just turning their blind eye to it. They knew what was going on and they're just like, oh. But then this other group got together and started making really schlocky, crappy stuff, right? In the kind of the same vein, but it was horribly done. It was just terrible. And Paramount had to stop that. They wanted to stop that because it was really bad. But they couldn't just go after them. They had to go after the other group too. So they had to give a cease and desist to them and say, hey, you know, but they kind of, I think they worked out a deal to let them finish the season so they can get to the end of the 5-year mission so they could, you know, at least wrap up what they had wanting to do. Mm-hmm. So they were able to do that, but it's so good and it's out there. And people should get to it, but that's one of those cases where they are they transforming enough to actually be over the top of the copyright that they're violating? Is it fan art? I mean, where in that little, in that big gray area does that reside? And isn't it good to have things like that? And do we have to kill things like that in order to stop the really bad stuff that's going on?
I mean, that's a whole other thing of discussion. Cause I mean, a lot of major books that came out were originally fan fiction that they changed the characters' names. I mean,
Twilight.
Oh, I mean, yeah. I mean,
no, Fifty Shades of Grey is Twilight. Fifty Shades
of Grey is off of Twilight.
It's Twilight, yes. And there's and another Harry Potter, one.
Star Wars, but that's.
Another fanfic that was a Wattpad fanfic that was like a One Direction fanfic that they changed the character's name and then it got big. I don't know why.
Yeah. Our copyright system clearly needs to be overhauled. I think YouTube system is mostly set up for some of the big corporations to be able to put their pixel stuff in there for their big $1 billion projects and music. YouTube does a fine job of doing that. I don't think it has the wanting or the incentive to do some of the low-level stuff, which does stink and makes you have to,
you know. And who's the arbiter at that point? Who do we have as the arbiter in these cases? Or do we just keep going in a social type of method like we're doing here where somebody recognizes it, puts it out there, other people see it and go, oh, and this is bad, and then they cancel the people who are doing the bad stuff.
I think Legal Eagle needs to get a bunch of other legal people to make a YouTube court, like a court of YouTube. And
yeah, I was doing a little bit of research on some of this stuff and looking at some reactions. I did watch the Legal Eagle interview of H Bomber Guy from like 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's funny.
Yeah, just see Legal Eagle try to make a Supreme Court judge.
Oh my God, just a bunch of different YouTube attorneys.
I don't think he would get all the turns. I think he would grab like one wild card.
and of course, Moist Critical. All right, Moist.
I do want to say the best.
Judge Moisticrell.
There were two jokes in the H Bomber Guy video that I really appreciated.
Reynolds boosted jokes.
The one is when he's talking about if you have knowledge in this or this, and then he says, or doming, and he has leather glove on. That was hilarious. But the best one was when he's talking about the guy who stole his video, who stole stuff from him once, and he called him out on it, and the guy's slamming back on him saying, you know, oh, you just need to boost your T levels. You're obviously gay, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he responds back with, sorry, but this is not, you know, this is a compliment, but where does the world's most fuckable twink come off telling me about T levels? I know.
God. Freaking Dash. Hey.
Oh yeah, H Bomber Guy.
All subscribers. That's the other thing. Extra 5 minutes in the ball pit. Okay.
Yeah, it's the ball pit. I was like, everybody's talking about that. I'm like, dude,
do you guys? Do you remember the ball pit? Right when that came out,
I I've learned about the mob pit doing research for this because that's what everyone who's trying to defend the internet historian is talking about.
The ball pit. Cone. Yeah, I remember when the ball pit was happening, and I'm sitting there online hearing about, like, this is fake. Come on, it can't be that bad.
God.
Oh, hell no. I've got memes of the ball pit somewhere on one of my hard drives. Oh, hell, the ball pit.
I completely missed that, but it's come around the second time now because I've encountered it now a few times.
I probably have dropped it in the chat while you have no idea what the hell's going on. Oh, hell,
fucking ball pit. Goddamn ball pit.
I know. Yeah, that was like in the background of just all kinds of things. Those for a few months. The ball pit. Okay. But no, yes, our copyright plagiarism system probably needs thing. The Star Trek thing to me just seems like a fanfic, just in a different medium. Just like if you set through on paper, you just transfer to medium. I think a lot of our different systems need to change, and certain older media also needs to become part because it's part of the culture. I don't care what Disney or the Mouse has to say. Yeah, we need to
change the stupid copyright laws to protect Disney. Come on. That's ridiculous.
We can attack them now. They are broke now.
Yeah. Suggestion.
Watching. It's like if you like the current MCO, stop watching it. We want them to bomb so we can
get a Doctor Who now. We can't really. I can't do that. We got new Doctor Who is on Disney. You can't
just buy the Blu-rays later.
I can't.
What's
Chudy is so good as the new Doctor. I'm sorry, I don't know if you haven't seen it yet or not.
Well, how many years is it till they get into the public domain? Do you guys know off the top of your heads?
What is it?
It's however long it was until Steamboat Willie came out. That's how long. They keep extending the years in order to protect Steamboat Willie.
It's like 90 years or something like that. Something stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's over 90 now. Yeah.
It's almost 100 years old. It was 1928. Five more years.
So
100 years. It's public domain.
We need the poo.
Cut it in half.
It's okay.
It has
as long to be as the right one. It has to be the one.
The Chinese one.
if all stories after 50 years goes into the public domain, I think that would be awesome.
25, 20.
Well, honestly, I wouldn't say 20. The only reason I didn't say just straight up 20 is because you have the series that actually have multiple things that extend along the line. Star Trek.
I can see a generation, right?
I see what you're saying. So, but I'm going to hit you with the Firefly defense. 10 years.
Sorry. I see your multimedia, and I raise you a Firefly.
Or Fox in general, Dollhouse.
It's like 50 years, unless it was made by Fox.
No, unless it was made by what's his name?
Sliders. Sliders. Can you imagine if we got a hold of Sliders before?
Before they
destroyed Sliders. Brian, you didn't watch Sliders.
Oh, man. Remember how they destroyed Reboot?
Not what about the what they did to the very end of
the Lone Gunman?
Quantum Leap. What about the end of Quantum Leap? And they bring it back and they don't reference it. Oh,
I don't know what you're talking about.
That didn't happen, right? It didn't happen.
It didn't happen, right? It didn't happen. I've never seen it, so it doesn't exist.
Hey, but at least we get more Full House, right?
Oh man, wish we could have got it. You know.
Like, well, remember they were talking about copyright laws in the, I guess it was Hamilton or Jefferson. I can't remember if it was Hamilton or Jefferson. Somebody's talking about at the time that copyright law should be 7 years.
I could get to that.
And I'm like, okay, well, let's maybe go the life of the original person who created it. How about that? Or something like, you know, let's do something here.
Yeah.
But we can't do 100 years. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Also considering corporations are like infinite longer, you know, especially as they amalgamize and get bigger and longer and get billions of dollars. We need to, you know, it needs to be reformed to be so, because there's a lot of so many things. The main reason for it is not to make too much money, but it's because a lot of these stories are part of our American culture at this point. You know, Superman is a part of American culture. It is a cultural story. And it transcended the ownership of DC. It's part of America.
We can get some behind something on that if we can agree on referencing who the original authors were. Like, look what they did to Batman, right? I mean, the original guy who created Batman got shoved to the side, and, you know, what Stan Lee did to, you know, Kirby. You've got things like that have been going on.
Jack Kirby.
So let's make sure we get... Let's focus on making sure that the right people get the right credit, not necessarily that they're in perpetuity able to make money off of it.
Sorry. I was going to do the epic rap battles. Like, calm down there, Frog Man.
Okay.
Oh, you saw the new, did you see the new
ERB? Yeah.
No.
Did you see? So, oh, I can't.
He doesn't want to glorify either one.
Oh my God.
I hate both of those people.
So, Marks versus Ford. Oh, it's so good.
I don't know who I root for. I hate both of them. They both suck.
They both suck and they both kill. I mean, some of the things that were said in that rap battle, I was like, oh my God.
They both suck.
Oh, it was nasty.
So I looked up the public domain thing. It's 95 years after publication or 70 years after the death of the author. That's absurd. That's absurd.
And then in that time, any corporation who buys a license of it can just do this malaise crap with it for the time.
They just set it aside. A perfect example. There's a guy who wrote a book that is one of the best books I've ever read. It's called Daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N. Futuristic is so good. He sold the rights to it to make a movie. It was going to be made, and it shelved it. And it's not seen the light of day since, and it needs to be a movie, but it's almost too late now, because what he did in writing that book was predicted everything that's going on right now 25 years ago. Mm. Daniel Suarez is so good at writing speculative fiction, science fiction. It's amazing. You know, he's talking about CRISPR. He had a book about CRISPR years ago that is so prevalent in what's going on in society today. In fact, when he wrote Daemon, it was so good that the FBI knocked on his door saying, "Where did you get this stuff at? Because you're hitting a little close to some things, you know." and his stuff is just sitting there, only in book form. There's never going to be a movie of it, and it sucks.
Chris, he's right. He's just John Teeter.
It's John Teeter. I was going to tell you, it's John Teeter. Yeah, Chris goes, or he's a time traveler, so that's John Teeter.
It's John Teeter, also known as Suzuha. So
that's my recommendation. We got around to my recommendation. Daniel Suarez, go get his books and read them, especially Daemon and Freedom, which is a book, the sequel to it. It's basically one story cut up into two books. That book series is awesome.
Yeah.
I've listened to it multiple times. The storytelling that he does, the images he paints for tech stuff is great, and it could happen.
Yeah. So, like,
you think AI is a thing? Oh my God, this could happen.
The thing I want to get off my chest when it comes to like copyright stuff like that is because growing up, I loved reading Sherlock Holmes books. And then it was only until like I got a little older that I realized like there's only really Sir Arthur Conan Doyle only wrote so many Sherlock Holmes stories. Most of these are fanfics and add-ons and just people just adding on to the story. And a lot of the great characters that we may think of Sherlock, some of them like, yeah, Sir. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle had nothing to do with these characters.
Or he made them and they just were one-off characters.
Yeah, they're one-off characters or just mentions. They're just mentions. And people have taken them and ran with them. They made some great, amazing series.
Wasn't like Irene Adler was just a one-off character in like one book?
Mm-hmm.
And then people were like, nah.
What more?
This character is our character now. Mm-hmm.
What was your favorite?
Oh, Artie Boy.
Oh, God. Which, man, can you imagine if someone did a good Hardy's Boy series now? You know, well, of course they kind of did. The one they did
in the '80s wasn't bad. It really wasn't bad. I watched it.
Yeah.
Right, but we're talking about characters that weren't in the thing. How about Harley Quinn, who was an invention? The ladder.
There was this TV show which basically was the Hardy Boys, but it wasn't. It was two women. It was really well written. I forget what it's called. It's an amazing series, and I forget what it's called right now because I watched the crap out of it because I was watching it, and it took me a while I was watching the show. Like, why do I like this? It's the Hardy Boys. It's just two women.
they did the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew show, which was I thought really good, but
yeah,
I don't know. I didn't mind it, so I liked it when I was a kid. But of course, I was a kid at the time when it came out. I wasn't
we
know
30 years old when I first saw it or something. I think I was probably about 10 or 12 when it came out. That show came out. Sean Cassidy, I think, was one of the guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Christy was quick on that. Like,
yes, Sean Cassidy, let's go.
Think she's got the poster. Sean Cassidy. Yeah. All right. Vincent, you want to wrap something up? So this episode's gonna get super long in the tooth.
Yeah. One of the things that H. Bomber did in the video that I've really appreciated was at the very end, where he went through a bunch of YouTubers, because you talked about James Summerton and some of the LGBT representation, all the stuff that he did and that he stole from that community. He went through a bunch of YouTubers at the end of his video that are LGBT people and did videos. Like, they've done a bunch of videos, and he's like, hey, check them out, check them out, check them out. So I actually did check one of them out that he suggested, which is Verily Bitchy. That's her name. Verily Bitchy, that's her name.
Yeah.
And some of her videos are just really well done.
I think her name is Verity Richie, but her channel is Verily Bitchy.
Yeah, she's gone to some very in-depth discussions about representation of especially bisexuality in media and how it's it really isn't and it sucks.
In the description for that video, he does have a playlist of all those people. You can click on the playlist and you go down and check those people.
Yeah, he has like a video for each of them in the playlist. But I did watch the video that he wrote for that was called that Verily did. There was the lesbian gays and explained how, you know, guys who write a lot of the movie directors that are men who make lesbian things are looking at it as men. And aren't making it for women at all. So, like, when you have something like blue is the warmest color and there's, like, a gratuitous amount of butt shots for no reason.
Well, we know who this is for.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's this thing called?
Verily Bitchy.
Blue is the what is color? The
warmest color. Warmest color.
I just need some movies to watch later tonight.
That was one other thing I wanted to bring up about James Summerton, who is not only is he terrible from what we know from everything that we talked about so far, just real quick, when he did write his own stuff and insert it into the middle of all the stuff that he was stealing, it was to rip on single white women. He hated white women. I don't know what the deal was, but he was consistently throwing misogyny out against them.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. And because I guess and H. Bomber's guy says, you know, who hurt you when you were a kid? But yeah, it's Bobby like that. Issues. I was talking to my wife about it because she's kind of that. I don't want to use the term. I don't know if I can use the term these days, but a blank hag. Where you have your friend who's gay, you know, your gay friend. And he was trying to say that, you know, women see that as a accessory that they can throw away. And it's like, no, that's not how it works. You obviously don't talk to these women because you don't know what's going on. But
yeah,
Brian Hill had some sort of hate on him. So.
Well, what you found out from YouTube censor system is if you sucked at least one dick, you can say the F word. So,
Reinhold, all you need to do is put a filter over the word, you see, and the copyright won't catch it. Or filter over the word.
Bisection filter, yeah. Or I could just talk about this, right?
Yeah. sit there. So, anyways, the I just shows the prop and say.
And honestly, the most damning thing about Jane about his content was that Todd in the Shadows video where he just started going through all these absurd lies that I don't even understand where he was coming up with some
If you're stealing all of your stuff, how can you be so wrong when you're not? You know what I mean? It's like you're either stealing, you're completely wrong, or you're a misogynist. That's all he was presenting in those videos. Other people's work. Or being wrong or being a misogynist.
Yeah. Oh god, it was some of those. It was like the fact that Todd is like, here's my friend who knows all about vampires, and here's why he's wrong on all these vampire things. And here's the thing in particular that she wanted me to bring up because he was just so wrong about it.
Yeah, and this and the cis white woman thing, it's Kat brought it, was telling H Bomber guy to bring it up because she was noticing it too. Mm-hmm.
All right. Like I said, I'm going to end the episode here. It's almost 10:30. We're ending it. Let's say thank you to everyone who made it this far in this really, well, not really long, but longer episode than usual of Loki, Wall Network.
No. We still have to react to the video. So let's get the video up. Let's go through it and just react to the video.
If you guys
it's only 4 enjoy, hours.
Let me get into my XQC style.
Yeah, I'm gonna make sure my
bed's all. I'm gonna make sure my pillows are all fluffed.
You see my seat? Yeah. The chair looks good. Yeah, we're good.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go do the worm real quick.
No. So, thank you for listening to this episode. If you guys enjoy Reinhold be able to pick something, please give us a shout out. Reinhold needs the ego boost. I know. You think he doesn't, but he does. He needs it. Because if you guys don't say you guys like his stuff, he switches in the corner and just lets Vincent and I just bully him with a goofy anime stuff. But thank you. You could have been listening to anything else in the world, but decided to listen to this, and that I thank you. This is a live recording on Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I know to the almost, I think we're really close to 300 downloads a week of you guys downloading this podcast, but I'd like for some of you guys to jump on and say hi to us live while I'm doing a live show. I do appreciate each one of you guys who downloads this as a live podcast, and I really do. You guys don't understand. Like every time I see the numbers of see how many people you guys download this thing, you guys are freaking amazing. I'm hoping I'd be making you guys laugh, make you guys think how you digest this content. So I will see you guys next time and hope you guys have fun. I think we could do one next week, but the week after that, we have to take technically 2 weeks off because like two freaking holidays in a row. So like our next episode is going to be the last one of the year, right?
Yeah, or the next one. Next one is next week, the 18th. And then the week after is Christmas.
And then New Year's. Right. Yeah. So
I work both those days.
Yeah. So
I'm off the last 2 weeks of the year, so I'll be chilling.
All right. Maybe we'll convince Reinhold to get on and do a solo show by himself.
Stop. You gotta get the message out there. Join the Discord. Get us on Twitch. Get us on YouTube. Talk Harry into putting us back on Facebook.
We're streaming on Facebook right now.
Oh yeah, we are. Look,
we're on Facebook, but not YouTube
because
we're
still
blocked.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Are we still blocked on YouTube?
I'm gonna let it. Said we should do it until like let it go die down. So whatever's chasing us, let's just wait till the new year. And it's like, you know what? I'm cool. We don't really make money off there. There's a couple of people that we get from there. That's cool. Let's not jinx it. Let's just let it go in the new year and we'll come back. So next week episode is our last one. I don't know what we're gonna do. I might take off. Maybe we'll do a long episode. Do a long one, 4 hours, Vincent, next month.
I mean, what we're gonna do. That's what we're gonna do. You're acting like I won't stay up that late.
Yeah, I know, not me. I'll fall asleep.
You won't. I would because my brain's broken, and I go to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning anyway.
Wow! 2 hours before I wake up.
Yeah. And sometimes that's 3 hours before I wake up. So,
dude, I've met someone over the weekend that gets up at 3 a.m.
He just looked at me. I was just like, wow, is this how this feels?
do you want to really hear a story? So I got up today for work at 11 o'clock last night, Sunday night. That's when I woke up and went and got ready for work.
Which Sunday?
This last Sunday.
The first Sunday.
I was literally awake from 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock Sunday night until 6 o'clock this afternoon. I took a nap.
I choose to do this. It's not a medical condition. Okay. I choose to do this.
When you start to get into the age group I'm in, you take your naps and you go.
Oh, man. No. It's the. Not napping yet. Yeah, yes. Join the Discord. Come and see it on YouTube or on Twitch and on Facebook. But anyways, goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye.
Take it easy, guys.
All right.